Sattamaha, the best of Gandharvaloka, Pranamya, offering his obeisances, Shirasha, head, Abhisham, unto the Supreme Master, Uttamashlokam, who's worshipped by the choicest verses, Avyayam, who is the Supreme Eternal, Agayata, he began to chant, Jashadhama, the glories of the Lord, Kirtanya Gunasatkatam, whose transcendental pastimes and qualities are glorious. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The best of the Gandharvas, King Huhu, having been cursed by Devala Muni, have become a crocodile. Now, having been delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he assumed a very beautiful form as a Gandharva. Understanding by whose mercy this has happened, he immediately offered his respectful obeisances with his head and began chanting prayers just suitable for the Transcendental Lord, the Supreme Eternal, who is worshipped by the choicest verses. Purport. The story of how the Gandharva had become a crocodile will be described later. The course by which the Gandharva took this position was actually a blessing, not a curse. One should not be displeased when a saintly person curses someone, for his curse indirectly is a blessing. The Gandharva had the mentality of an inhabitant of the celestial planetary system, and for him to become an associate of the Supreme Lord would have taken millions of long years. However, because he was cursed by Devala Rishi, he became a crocodile, and in only one life was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face and be promoted to the spiritual world to become one of the Lord's associates. Similarly, Gajendra was also delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he was free from the curse of Agastya Muni. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Sutarine Vancha Kalpa Taruvyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So, the sort of a continuation of getting a little more in depth into the theme of the last few verses, which was dealing with the curse that these two personalities receive from two different saintly persons. Agastya Muni curse Gajendra, Devala Rishi curse King Huhu. And the description of the sages being angry at the behavior of these two personalities in their previous life, or King Huhu, who was the king of the Gandharvas. And we heard before that the Gandharvas is one of the celestial planets, and the Gandharvas are the artists of the heavens. They're the musicians, they're the dancers, they're the actors. So in general, the Gandharvas are very, very beautiful, and their capacity of performing beautiful chants and sings, and you know, they, to present the Vedas and the knowledge of the Vedas through singing and playing instruments, it's glorified through the scriptures. And so in general, you have descriptions of great sacrifices performed in the heavens, and then the Gandharvas are supposed, they're invited to participate and do all the singing. So similar to something when we, like for example, we're planning the big festivals for the temple, the first thing that we start to, you know, think is not only, you know, all the exalted guests that we want to try to bring, you know, Maharaj to speak, certain Maharaj or several, you know, senior devotees to present the philosophy, but also the cultural presentations. You know, so we want to find the best singers, the best kirtaniers. We want to prepare a nice play, dancer. So we, right now, we working to organize the Ratha Yatra. And this Ratha Yatra is going to be the biggest Ratha Yatra that we had in Chicago for at least from the time that I'm being here, which has been, you know, a little over 10 years. Maybe Jitendra remembers some of the big Ratha Yatras that happened before when he used to be in the city. Jitendra Prabhu, it was big. Where they used to be, which street? It was also in the Daily Center before. Okay.
475.
So anyway, but this one is gonna be big, big, big. We're planning to because it's also Prabhupada's 50th anniversary. So there's a lot of effort to bring the best, or to at least make an attempt to bring some of the best cultural presentation, especially kirtan and dancing and that type of thing, play. So so the Gandharvas, they have that capacity, and here's the king of the Gandharvas who is explained, you know, they are very pious personalities, that's why they're in heaven. And being pious personalities means they're devotees. There's no, you know, pious means sukritinas. Sukriti means devotees. Chaturbithe bhajante man namo sukritina arjuna. Sukritinas, the devotees. So they're naturally religious, they're naturally devotees. However, their aim is still is not necessarily a pure devotional service. It's not pure devotional service. It's mixed devotional service, mixed with desires to enjoy. So, in general, these pious personalities, they enjoy the enhanced sense gratification in the heavens, and then they come down into a pious into a pious family again. They take birth, and they continue their progress to hopefully come to a higher stages of consciousness. but it's explained that it would have taken this Gandharva, this king of the Gandharvas, millions of lives to actually come to that stage. Why is it so? Because that's the nature of the material world. Sense gratification, the desire to enjoy, is so ingrained that that's basically what keeps the whole will going in material existence, is samsara will, that basically as long as we're engaged in trying to satisfy our senses, being in the heavenly planets or being in this earthly region, we're going to be entangled into this will. So it's millions and millions of life, to the fact that the description of living entities in this material world, the term that is used, the Sanskrit term, is nitya bhata. Nitya bhata means eternally conditioned. I think we have, you know, here in the Bhagavatam descriptions of this nitya bhata, but highlighting that is from time immemorial you will be in this business of trying to enjoy our senses and going to this cycle of birth and death. Sometimes in heavens, sometimes in earth, sometimes in hell, and then so it goes for uncountable lives. So to receive the mercy of a devotee is the only way one can actually break from that cycle. And therefore, the mercy of the devotee is considered the most great, the greatest fortune that one can have. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona, that living entities are in this Brahmanda Brahmite Kona, in this universe, going up and down this universe from time immemorial. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona. Bhagyavan Jiva, that one becomes one of those unlimited amounts of living entities that are caught in this material creation. One may be very, very fortunate. Bhagyavan Jiva. Bhag means fortune. Very fortunate. Why? Because somehow or other receives the mercy of the devotee. Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lata Bich. That what is this great personality, Krishna's representative, does? Well, he plants a seed of devotion in the heart of the living entity. And that's the only way. Otherwise, is eternally being in that situation. So the mercy of the devotee is the answer, is the key. And the mercy of a devotee may come in the form of a chastisement, may come in the form of an instruction, it may come in a particular form. It doesn't matter, but it's still mercy. And then we see in the situations of these great saintly personalities giving a course. And through that course, we hear in the previous classes that a benediction is received. In reality, it's a benediction, it's not a curse. Because saintly persons are, the quality of a saintly person is that develops, you know, is a possessor of all the qualities of the devotees. And there are 24 qualities of the devotees that is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. And, you know, they're humble, they're tolerant, they're merciful, and, you know, you keep naming them, they're the best well-wishers of all living entities. They are equipoised, their mind doesn't become disturbed, then they have full controls of the senses. We hear Bacho Vegan, Manasa Vegan, Uparadasta Vegan, that controls the mind, controls the tongue, controls all the different senses. So these are personalities that are extremely elevated. Devala Rishi is mentioned by Arjuna in the 10th chapter as one of the personalities that also accept Krishna as the supreme. You know, Param Dhamma, Param Brahma. What is it? Param Dhamma, Param Brahma. Param Dhamma, Param Brahma. Pavitam Idam Uttamam. Right? Pavitam Idam Uttamam. And then he says, Devala, Ashita, Vyas, all these personalities accept you also as supreme. So Devala Rishi is a great elevated personality, Rishi. So to imagine one of these great personalities just being, you know, casually offended and angry, you know, just like, you know, oh, this guy is, you know, he's a little short, you know, like that. That, you know, it may be, one may question, well, is he, you know, maybe he doesn't have a great control. You know, one of the control thing is controlling anger, right? So one have to control the tongue, one have to control the mind, one have to be controlled against anger. So what is this of a sage being angry? You know, obviously what Huhu did was very annoying. I mean, imagine, you know, it's pretty offensive. Imagine, you know, a sannyasi sitting down and chanting his Gayatri, and all of a sudden someone comes, you know, and pull off his leg or something like that, you know. I can't imagine, you know. I mean, you probably get just someone's going to hit you in the head, you know, the temple commander or something like that, you know. So, you know, it was a very annoying thing to do. It was a very offensive thing to do. So the anger of the saintly person is not like the anger of any one of us conditioned souls. Our anger is fed, or it comes from unfulfilled expectation, unfulfilled desires. We know in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that says, you first contemplate the objects of desires, then you start to desire them, you start to want them. And from unfulfilled desires, then krodha, anger comes. So the anger that conditioned souls experience is an anger that leads you, you know, quite in big heaps into, you know, the mode of ignorance. And it is explained that anger is one of the doors towards hell. So anger is a very negative emotion. And that in general, you know, has a lot of consequences, bad consequences for anyone who is in the tail end of anger. For the person who is angry, for the person who is receiving that anger. is not so not so positive. However, a person, an elevated personality, anger is a different thing. You know, it's nothing come from ego or from unfulfilled expectations and desires. It comes from a position of devotion, of caring, of compassion, of like that. So the result of that anger is elevation, is positive. And we see, you know, a very, like in one sense, like a mundane sort of example of how this anger and punishment has a positive thing. Like, you know, say the closest thing of the love that is in the spiritual world is the love of the parental love, the love of the mother. And so similarly, if we're going to make, you know, a gross comparison in this material world of that type of anger and punishment, is a punishment that we may receive from a caring parental figure that sometimes, you know, punish us for the purpose of educating you. Like, say, Mother Yasoda in the pastime of the Damodar pastime. Mother Yasoda, she decided, I have to punish Krishna. Because if I don't punish him, then, you know, this may cause him problems, you know, being so mischievous. So you have to discipline. So the purpose is, you know, for education, for making things better. So a saintly person thinks like that. The saintly person's purpose is always the welfare of all. And even, you know, when a saintly person becomes angry and gives you a curse, just like we hear in the previous classes, he has an inbuilt blessing that in reality is a blessing in disguise. And what a blessing this King Huhu receive. Anyone will take that. If I tell you, you know, so I give you one life as a monkey in Vrindavan, and then you go back home, back to Godhead. Say, not a bad deal. I mean, I don't know how many, you know, I mean, taking into consideration that we've been here from unlimited, you know, countless life in this business. Taking into consideration all the troubles that we have to go, even to chant Hare Krishna, you know, with attention. And, you know, all the things that we have to deal with, our minds, our bodies, you know, our other people, the environment, the whole thing, you know. I take it, you know. Anyway, they seem to have fun there in Vrindavan, the monkeys, you know, so, you know, and there, no one bothers them. They do whatever they want, you know, so not a bad deal, you know. So anyway, we look not to go and offend devotees to get cursed, you know, become a monkey in Vrindavan, you know, like that. So better not to do that. But it was tremendous, the opportunity that this King Huhu received, because there was no question, it is explained, that he was going to be achieving what he achieved, you know, by that. So it tells a lot of the character and the kindness of these personalities. I mean, it takes a lot of that. The corrected measures is so powerful that, you know, that immediately you receive, you know, that type of opportunity. I guess also it has to do with the personality who is receiving the course. You know, so I can imagine, you know, I mean, this King Huhu was explained as the best of the Gandharvas. And these are very exalted people. You know, so the best of all of those, you know, may have been a very advanced, you know, personality also to be able to receive such an opportunity. So it's it tells a lot of the characters of these saintly persons. And like yesterday I shared that you know, anger of Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and it was such a strong lesson that that we all were like, you know, shocked by seeing that display. I mean, it was devastating. Yes, and the voice was so loud, and you know, and this poor devotee, I mean, such a, is a very, very nice devotee, you know, and very talented. His name is Raghunath, his famous, you know, devotee, preacher. Anyway, it was devastating. I mean, we were feeling bad for him. And then it was quite something to see how from that devastating anger that can destroy, you know, the room was almost like, you know, feeling like scorching, you know, like that. I mean, then he subsided and then went back the rest and the three sannyasis just talking about, you know, like it's like nothing happens, you know. Meanwhile, poor Raghunath is outside the room, you know, in tears. You know, we all like, you know, trying to not, you know, breathe, you know, like that, you know. And Ramapad Swami and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Dhanara Swami and Gunagrahi Maharaj was like, yes, you know, Hare Krishna. So, oh, very nice piece. How you make the cross and things like that, you know. It's like, so it's a different thing. And the fact is that we all learn the lesson. We cannot be ever casual about serving, you know, the advanced devotees, the senior devotees. We have to be like with in our A game. All our senses, all our things have to be, you know, very aware. That's the message that we got. So and Maharaj then came to Raghunath and say, all right, you are a devotee. I mean, I don't know what he said to him, but basically he was reinstated as a devotee, you know. So so that's a saintly person. Always looking to our welfare, only looking to actually make us, you know, make our path to Krishna possible. And therefore we pray to the Vaishnavas, you know, every morning. Pancha kalpa tarubhyasya kripa sindhubhyaiva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. I was not prepared for this, as you know. So anything that you want to add or questions that you may have. Yes.
And so when we're dealing with exalted devotees, we should be very much attentive in our service. This is extremely important. Yeah, I've heard this example where, you know, it's kind of jokingly used, where an example of the Kanista Adhikari is the is they'll come into the temple, you know, and trample all over the devotees, all over the devotees, and go straight to the deities, right? There's like, you know, that absence of understanding that, you know, we're here to serve the devotees and things. And then, similarly, it's observed, that when Guru Maharaj is here, or anywhere, when someone's Guru Maharaj is there, then, whoa, that person is very much, you know, enthusiastic about serving Guru Maharaj, or this Swami, or that Swami. But then, when that Swami is gone, and then it's time to serve the mundane other Kanista Adhikaris that are hanging around, oh, you know, I have better things to do. I have to, you know, chant very nicely, and I need, you know, to do this and this. Oh, yes, that service is there, you know? So, I'm just putting that out there. It's not really a question, but it's something that came to my heart. So I was wondering if maybe you could speak about this.
In the course of our Krishna consciousness, most of us, sometimes we experience that. Sometimes we experience, sometimes you experience that if you go to big temples in India, you know, how almost, you know, you get shoved out of the way. You know, like, poof, it's like, some enthusiastic other devotees, you know, sometimes. But it's a sign of immaturity, you know. And when we neglect the devotees, it's just a sign of immaturity in your Krishna consciousness. Also, the descriptions of Kanishta Adhikaris, which, you know, obviously, with all these different categories, there's a whole spectrum, you know. It's not just black and white, but you have a whole spectrum. And as you mature in your Krishna consciousness, you know, you go, you know, going from black to gray and like that, lighter gray, like that. We start to get a better sense, become more conscious. The whole thing is becoming conscious. In general, material consciousness means very unconscious of others. It's self-centered. And you become conscious of those who are in your circle of, you know, Prabhupada say, your extended self-center. You extend that, you know, the me and then minds. My friend, my community. It's all extending the mameti, no? Mine. So I'm conscious of those things. I'm conscious of mine. And that's material consciousness. You know, we tend to be unconscious of anything else that is outside my center. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, we have to move from that. We have to start to learn to become conscious. To become conscious. That, and specifically the training that we got is that, yes, it is recommended, we serve Guru and Krishna. We serve the devotees. Shushusho Shadadana Shya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syam Mahat Sevaya Vipra. Serving the devotees, great thing. Serving the pure devotees is a great thing. Serving the deities is a great thing. But if I'm the servant of the deity anything that is dear to these personalities, then also should be the object of my service. So as we become mature, then we start to feel the happiness of serving the devotees, and you don't see, you see, because that's the service to the deities. Because you see, the devotees are very dear to the deities. The devotees are very dear to Srila Prabhupada. You know, so we do that as we mature. But yeah, it's a matter of becoming conscious, and we have to elevate ourselves to that. So the training is for that purification. Is that all right? Yeah, back to Mikey.
I had a question that many curses, not all curses, are lead to good things. Like Dashrath Maharaj was cursed that he would die after bearing the separation of his son, and then Karna in Mahabharata was cursed that when he's fighting his opponent, his guru's teachings will not be with him. So what happens to those curses which are given in anger, or like which happen, and then, you know?
Yeah, in all those curses, if you see, the end result was very positive. Like say Karna, he was cursed by Parshuram that that his chariot, and we were seeing into the earth. No, he was cursed with someone else about the chariot, but that Parshuram told him that at the time that you need the most all the teachings that I gave you, you're gonna forget. So you're gonna forget everything. So then it happens. What was that the most, you know, when he was in his final fight with Arjuna? And, you know, there he is, you know, Arjuna is going to pull, you know, this Brahmastra weapon or whatever, this weapon. Karna have to pull his. And when he started to, you know, try to say the mantra, he forgot. So, and then the other curse happened too, that his chariot sink. So he, okay, I forgot the chariot song, so he was ready for the outcome. What was the outcome? He was killed in the presence of Krishna. So that in itself, you know, and Karna was very, you know, he was very conscious at that time. He had very deep conversations with Krishna before the battle, you know. So in all cases, all curses made by saintly persons end in something extremely, extremely positive for the person who is cursed. So, you know, they actually learn lessons, you know, and they become better positioned and very, very situated.
But Dashrath Maharaj was also cursed that he's
Daksha?
Dashrath, king of Ram.
Dashrath, yes.
He was cursed, so what good came out of it? He just died in the separation of his son, bearing the separation of his son.
Yeah, in from the perspective of Dashrath Maharaj, that one is part of a pastime of the Lord. You know, so that's something that have to. I mean, he's an eternal associate of the Lord. He's not just, you know, King Huhu, but Dashrath Maharaj is, you know, an eternal associate of the Lord that comes to perform a pastime, you know, with him. So it's a complete different thing. That, so in that case, yeah. All right. Back to Mitch Prabhu.
We read in the Shishashtaka, this Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. I was wondering if you could explain what benedictions the Sankirtan movement spreads, and what does it mean, what's the benediction moon?
Yeah, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam, that the way I heard that is explained, that is very poetic and beautiful by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is that the moon is enlightens, you know, a dark space. So a place, you know, in during night that have a full moon, it's almost, you can see perfect everything, you know. So there's light. And the light of the moon is a very soothing moon. It's light. It's not, there's no heat. There's no scorching heat. So it's soothing. It's a soothing enlightenment. And the example of also is given that during the full moon, there's a particular lotus flower that opens only during full moon. And it's explained, then Srila Bhaktivedanta of course goes to say that Lord Chaitanya's is like the moon, you know. Like, he compares Krishna like the sun, but Krishna, you know, burns you a little bit, you know, sarva dharmam parityajaj, you know, so it's, you feel the heat, you know, oh my God, I have to, you know, I have to do something that I don't want to do. It's a little uncomfortable, you know, so you have to try to put a little lotion, you know, to deal with Krishna, you know, and like that, you know, sun shades and things like that, because, you know, it puts you in the heat, you know. Lord Chaitanya is different. Lord Chaitanya is very soothing, you know. Lord Chaitanya's mood is like, yeah, it's all right. Just, you know, he brings you in, you know. So Lord Chaitanya as a full moon, when you are under the influence of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, then what happens is that the lotus flowers of devotion in your heart opens. Sreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. So that's something that Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur says. So the Sankirtan movement is the benediction of Lord Chaitanya to the world. Those are the rays. It's like, you know, we can sort of picture ourselves today, you know, as little particles of the moonshine, the benediction moon of Lord Chaitanya, you know, coming from the altar, just going into the streets and reaching people. So it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It basically spreads the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. That's the vehicle, the Sankirtan movement. So it's a beautiful sort of like imagery, no? And very, very beautiful. Is that all right? Thank you, Prabhu.
I was wondering if the curse from the great saintly soul to the conditioned soul is, I was thinking it could either be the conditioned soul's karma or it could be a manifestation of bhakti. I was wondering what you would think would make more sense, whether it was someone's karma or whether it was some kind of something that's transcendental, like their curse. What would you say?
I don't think the karma is that, you know, it's ordained that we commit an offense to a saintly person. It doesn't make sense to me. It makes more sense to me that karma is that you have certain propensities to be sort of like blind or unconscious. You know, there's the body comes with certain, you know, blockages that doesn't allow you to be conscious of certain things. You have to evolve those things. So there's a propensity of being offensive. That could be. You know, so if you have the great fortune to be to have the association of a saintly person, you know, even if you make a mistake like that, even if you're unconscious like that, you know, and you have that contact, that contact will be positive still. When it says, you know, the sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastre hoy, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. that even a moment of association, it doesn't explain positive association or negative association, you know, whatever, that association, you know, it can bring a complete change like that. So from the perspective, you know, we've been analyzing in the last three classes, that these saintly persons, you know, their curse is not a curse, it's a blessing. So, you know, may you go back home to Godhead in your next life. You know, who was say, oh my God, you know. But it didn't come like that. It came, you know, like your next life should be a crocodile. Like, you know. But you will be face to face with the Lord. Amazing. Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Last one.
I have this bone to pick about these two guys, and I've said it before, kind of, but I want to, now it's more clear to me. Because this special situation, it's often said it's because they're exalted personalities. That they get so much mercy in just this one lifetime, like Gajendra and the crocodile. But now I'm getting some more details about these personalities, and King Huhu, he is in the Godarva planets. He's enjoying like anything. And he's grabbing this. He's not only yanks the saintly guy's, Prabhu's leg, Maharaj's leg. He's doing it thinking it's some celestial damsel that he can enjoy with. So I'm starting to think, you know, not such an exalted person. He's getting all this mercy. And whereas, you know, the curse, like Karna gets this curse. And Karna, he's actually in a... Because it's this element of Anartana Vritti, I feel like. It's not a bit, it's not fair. Because Karna, I mean, he goes through some Anartana Vritti. I mean, he's got serious family issues he's dealing with. He's not just a dumb elephant, you know. So his curse, I mean, it takes him through quite of a rough life. Whereas Huhu, you know, he just, you know, chomps on an elephant for 1,000 years, which I guess is a long time. But he's enjoying that also. I don't understand this hoo-hoo. I'm a bit envious, that's the point. That's the...
Well, you know, it's just show that even in a very great position, you know, in a great situation, sometimes we see, you know, when we get comfortable, say, you know, we get the opportunity to be in the service of the Lord, you know, in a temple, and we start to appreciate, when we just come, you know, we appreciate everything. Wow, beautiful food, the music is great, exercise, you know, in the morning, you know, really, you know, everything is like, you know, everything is fantastic, you know, and you're so grateful, and, you know, what a nice position, you know, I'm enthusiastic about everything. And then you start to settle. And you start to settle in the situation and start to become more familiar. And now you see, oh, maybe the food is a little spicy, or how about, you know, something else? And, oh, this devotee, you know, I mean, he's not as great as he thought, you know, he's, you know, like a little whatever. And you know, then you start to, yes, you start to, all right, you know, and, you know, even in this situation, then we start to become neglectful and get into, you know, I want all the sweet rice or something like that, or you go to the sweets and then, you know, pull a little back and take, like, you know, 5 sweets for the days or something like that. So, you know, you can, even in those situations, one can go, because We still have mixed desires. I mean, Huhu obviously is not a pure devotee. Huhu was, you know, the demigods are a sakam bhakta. Sakam bhakta means they have mixed desires. material desires, desires to enjoy, mixed with devotion. In general, Akanishta means also mixed devotee. So, you know, you have a parallel there. Obviously, there are much more elevated personalities that, you know, some of us, you know. However, because of that mixed condition, you can go south very easily. Like we see this in the temple too. You know, you start to focus more in, you know, your personal enjoyment. You make your particular arrangements. You know, now I have my stuff here, my corner, it's mine. I have my thing, I have my this, I have, you know, all this arranged, you know, that it fits me, you know, like that. So we have to be careful not to settle so much into those things. The whole idea is that we have to become more and more, you know, connected to who we are. We're the servants of the deities, and we're eternal spirit, soul, servant of the, etc., etc. So, in our conditional states, we can go this way very easily. So, it can happen even to Huhu, King Huhu. You know, in great person, in a great position, considered the best of the Gandharvas. You know, I mean, we're talking about heavenly planet, the best. You know, so and I'm imagine, you know, they got absorbed in that sense gratification, and they even noticed that the great saintly person was there. That's rough. Anyway, stop here. Garantarashimam Bhagavatam Ki Jai.